Hey there, I'm Jen, a pediatric registered dietitian who teaches you how to feed your kids and do it right.
And I'm Izzy, a student at UNH learning all there is to know about nutrition and dietetics with plans to become a pediatric registered dietitian.
On our podcast, Mom, What's for Dinner?, we dig deep into childhood nutrition and teach you not only what to feed your kids, but how to feed them.
Join us for conversations about things like eating disorders, RFID, sugar, body image, the gut, and so much more.
We release episodes every Tuesday morning. We can't wait for you to listen. Welcome back to Mom, What's for Dinner?
Yay, we're back.
We're back. So for all of our listeners, it doesn't feel like there's any gap in the podcasts. For Izzy and I, for those who don't know, we record a ton of episodes all at once while Izzy is home on winter break and then during the summer.
Yeah.
So anything that you hear in the fall and the spring has been pre-recorded. It's on autopilot. Mm-hmm. So Izzy and I are back recording for the first time since January today.
Yep. It's very exciting.
It's very exciting. We are so excited for another summer of recording. We have a ton of episodes lined up to record and knowledge to share.
Yeah, some really fun stuff. I'm really excited about some of these things we have coming up this summer.
Woohoo!
Yay.
Izzy and I have big plans the podcast, the practice.
Yeah, we've been...
Life in general.
Yep.
Not sharing anything now. But keep yourselves posted. So Izzy, how was your semester?
It was good. It was busy, but it was good. I'm officially done with general chemistry.
Oh,
which is very nice. I have much more chemistry to go, but to have that out of the way is really nice.
What's next for chemistry?
Organic. I take organic chemistry next spring after I get back from Italy.
Yikes.
Yes.
Fun. Yeah, and Izzy is going to Italy.
Yes, I'm studying abroad this coming fall, so I'm very, very excited about that.
Where primarily?
It's called Ascoli Piceno. If you're Italian, I apologize for my pronunciation. But it's a really small city in Italy, so I'm really excited.
Fun. What's it near?
They said it's about 3 hours away from Rome, straight across Italy.
So, okay.
Yeah.
So jealous of you.
Yep.
Oi.
I'm very excited.
That's going to be awesome. So, let's dive in. I always have a story to share on the podcast, and I wasn't even planning on sharing this story because it hadn't happened yet, mm-hmm. but just before we came to my office to record, I now have a 3.5-year-old, mm-hmm. so every time we record, my oldest is a different age, so last year she was 2.5, and I would reference her a lot. When we recorded in December and January, she was 3, so now she's 3.5,
yep.
and... she is a firecracker, Little Miss Independent.
Uh-huh.
And so I just wanted to share sort of the way that I dealt with all of her snack requests, mm-hmm. and can I have this and I want that, how I dealt with that today. Because perhaps you're a parent listening who just needs a little bit of guidance today, right? Yep. And I was wondering, Izzy, did you pick up on any of the language I was using and, like, how I was sort of redirecting her mm-hmm. when you were over at my house?
Yeah, I was, yes, I was taking it all in.
When did you notice?
You didn't necessarily come right out and say no when she asked for something. It was more of a redirect or, like, in the goldfish example,
mm-hmm.
like, you didn't come out and say no, sure, we can have a couple more. Let's pick, like, 5 more.
Yeah.
Or you still have some food on your plate, maybe.
Yeah.
Try having some of that first. Or,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So a few things happened here. So our snacking started. She always has a morning snack. Like, we have breakfast, and I have a set schedule, like I talk about, for when snack is going to be. So for us, it's not before 10:30 a.m. That's mm-hmm. just what works for us. And it was pushing 11 because it was an exciting day. Izzy was back for the first time.
Yes.
It was pushing 11 and she didn't ask for the snack, but I knew she wanted one. So I got her her first snack, which was a homemade pop that mm-hmm. I made, popsicle, that we made the other day. And that was that. And then yesterday, we were at Target and she picked out a new snack container mm-hmm. that we said we were going to save for school in the fall, but mm-hmm. obviously she's really excited to use it.
Yeah.
And she wanted to have a snack in her new little container. So this is where you as the parent get to make the call, is that appropriate or not? So I follow the division of responsibility, like I talk about all the time. I decide what and when, she decides if and how much. So she finished her pop and she wanted to have another snack in her new container. Normally I would say, you just had a snack, we'll wait till lunch, this and that. But she's real excited about this little snack container and right. it is super duper cute.
It's really cute.
So I was like, you know, fine, it's cool. We're out on the patio, it's novel. She loves to have her snack out on the patio when it's sunny out.
Yeah.
So I got her some carrots and hummus. Boom, cool. Okay, so that's that. You know, I was okay with it. And you ultimately, as the parent, just need to decide, are you okay with them having another snack and what it's going to be? Mm-hmm. She did not actually get what she requested. What she wanted in her snack container were cherry tomatoes, grapes, and strawberries.
Yes.
Which I know most kids maybe wouldn't ask for that and fruits and veggies.
It came off of the packaging on the... on the new snack container. In the picture, it had those things on it. That's why she requested it. We had talked about it before when you were upstairs, and so that's why she wanted those specific things.
Got ya.
Because she saw it on the packaging.
Oh, okay. So, I provided her with a snack that we had on hand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So moving along, some time goes by. Now, Fridays are a little weird in my house because I need to eat lunch before I come to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then when my husband gets home, he has lunch with the kids usually.
Right.
But I'm not going to eat lunch and not offer her anything. That's rude, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I offered her some of what I was having. She also asked for goldfish. Now, this is sort of out of the norm for us. We always have goldfish in the house because I love them. But they do sit on the in the pantry for like 6 months before they're gone because I forget about them. But she spotted them actually yesterday and asked if she could have some. And I said, honey, I will put some goldfish on your plate the next time you have a snack. So again, there yesterday, snack time had come and gone. It wasn't a scheduled eating time. She had asked for goldfish. And I said no, because we need to maintain the snack schedule. And I said, I'll put them on your plate at your next snack, like tomorrow. And she was totally okay with it, because we do this all the time. So today she asks for goldfish. Well, it was a meal time, and I had told her, yes, I'll put it on your plate at the next snack or meal. So I put a few goldfish on her plate. I put some of what I was having on her plate. She only ate the goldfish, and she wanted more goldfish. And I give her like five at a time because she's three and she doesn't need like a whole bowl of goldfish, right? So she wanted more. And I had just sat down to eat. And I'm like, well, I'm not getting back up right now because I just sat down and I need to eat. Why don't you work on some of the other things on your plate?
Mm-hmm.
So this is me saying to her, you have other food on your plate if you're hungry to eat that right now before I can get up and get you goldfish. And it's up to her if she's going to eat it. I didn't pressure her. I didn't say, you need to take a bite of your cauliflower before I get you more goldfish.
Right.
I was just like, I'm not getting up right now. You can eat what's on your plate.
Right.
She didn't. And she wanted a few more goldfish. And I'm fine with that, because she eats a really well-balanced diet anyway. And even if she didn't, we're in the stage right now where everything's a power struggle. She just wants me to say yes.
Yep.
She doesn't care what it is. And I could do a whole podcast just on this. She just wants me to say yes.
Right.
So do I really care if she has five more goldfish? Not really. So next time I got up, I gave her some more goldfish. She wanted to count them out herself. Again, this is a power struggle. Okay, count them yourself. Great. And then I told her, all done with goldfish. And that was that.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll be offered food again when my husband has lunch with my other daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be offered what they're having, with the understanding that, okay, she's already had goldfish, so no more of those. She already had the pop, so no more of that. And she's not going to have as much control, like, as the day goes on, because
mm-hmm.
she has gotten some of what she's wanted. But it was in a very controlled way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so then, the last thing, and this is something I've talked about before, I really don't feel like young kids should have access to the refrigerator. Now, obviously, kids know how to open the fridge, especially if it's like the long, or no, our fridge is like, the doors are up a little bit, so
right,
she can't really.
The freezer's on the bottom.
The freezer's on the bottom, which is hard to open. She actually just learned how to open the freezer. And the fridge is on the top. So up until, like, literally today, you saw the first time she ever opened the fridge. Mm-hmm. So she grabbed her stool from the bathroom that she uses for washing hands, brought it out to the kitchen, and opened the fridge because she wanted to put her own plate away after lunch, the lunch she didn't eat. And I was like, okay, let's see where this goes. So she opens up the fridge. We put the plate in there together, and she spies the yogurt pouches. And she's like, can I have one? To which I said, no. Like, that was, you know, that was like, all right, we're all done. And I could tell she's just trying to grasp at anything she can because she wants to be in control.
Yep.
So I said, no. And she knows yogurt pouches are reserved for on the go. I feel like this whole episode is just going to be me telling a story. yogurt pouches are for on the go. And I really try and stick to that because I don't want my kids just like having pouches all day long. So I said no, and she gave me a little, you know, pushback, and I was just like, nope, like, we're done, like, it's not food time right now. Right. And at that point, it really wasn't food time. Like, I was done, we were cleaned up, I was going up to get dressed, she knows she's gonna get to have food again with dad and her sister, like, done.
Yeah.
And so that is following the schedule, the division of responsibility, and, you know, enough is enough.
Right.
And I think many parents get in this boat where they're like, well, my kid wants a yogurt. Like, yogurt's healthy. You know, it has calcium. It has protein. Why not? Let them have a yogurt. But the problem is, had I let her have that yogurt, then we're getting into grazing territory. Mm-hmm. And she's just picking at this, picking at that, picking at that. So when the time comes for a real meal, she's not going to eat any of the meal with the veggies and the protein and the, you know, complex carbs and whatever, because she's full of snacks. So there has to be a point where you do say no and you maintain that schedule and division of responsibility.
Yeah.
So now we're in fridge territory where she can open the fridge herself.
Yep. So fun. She
Good
did it
stuff.
Again when you went upstairs.
Did she?
Yep.
Awesome. And I think it's the novelty of opening the fridge and that will wear off.
Absolutely.
But for now, it's going to be. And so this is how I'm going to handle it. And this is what I tell parents. I never want a child to feel like they're in trouble for eating. Like, if they're hungry, they need to be offered food and they need to eat. Bottom line, end of story. But there do need to be consequences for opening the fridge and grabbing stuff without a parent saying, okay. Mm-hmm. One, it's a waste of electricity. Like, we know they're not fully closing the fridge every time. Mm-hmm. Your food's gonna, like, get spoily and weird and gross. You know, and food time is food time, and, like, play time is play time, right? Like, we're, like, it's just, there needs to be some sort of parental control and guidance there, right?
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's that. Okay. Fun stories.
Yes.
I bet you didn't know that my wheels were turning so much about all that happened at the house.
I figured it might come up. It felt like a good moment to bring up.
Totally.
For sure.
So, Izzy, what's our episode on today?
So today we're talking about feeding practices that make us cringe. In other words, there are so many different trends and feeding practices on the internet these days about feeding your kids that Jen doesn't necessarily agree with. So we're going to talk about some more things that you maybe have seen that we advise to stay away from when it comes to feeding your little one.
Take it away. Take the first one.
So our first one is a big one, and I feel like we've talked about this one many times on the podcast. And a couple, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, some of these might sound familiar because we just put them all together in one episode. So that's what today is. But there might be a little bit of repetitive content if you've been listening to the podcast for a while. So our first one here is hiding veggies in food. So one of the biggest things when we're talking about the parent-child feeding relationship is trust. And when you're hiding foods like vegetables, most commonly, in your child's foods, the bottom line is that they will find out. And we know that trust is so essential in the parent-child feeding relationship. And if your child finds out that you're sneaking foods into their food without them knowing, they're not going to trust you, or that relationship is going to get shaken up a little bit. And that can cause much more harm than getting your child to eat a little bit more veggies than they would if whatever it is hadn't been stuck into the food in the first place.
Right. I want to talk about causing harm. So you're absolutely right. The feeding relationship is built on trust.
Mm-hmm.
You need to trust your child that they will eat
right
when they are presented food. And of course, there's always nuance. Some kids really have feeding challenges, and mm-hmm. that's where my job in one-on-one, you know, help comes in. You need to trust your child that they will eat from the assortment of food that is offered. And your child needs to trust that you're not trying to pull one over on them.
Right.
A lot of parents sneak veggies into their kids' food. I hear it all the time. Oh, I throw some kale in their smoothie, which, by the way, you can totally see. Like, I don't think you're really sneaking it all that much.
Right. Yeah,
anyway,
right.
You know, I put extra veggies in the pasta sauce. I puree them up, this, that, you know, whatever. The extra nutrients that your child is getting from those, quote, hidden vegetables
mm-hmm.
is not worth the potential damage that you do to your feeding relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want them to get into a situation where they won't eat anything on the table because they're like, oh my gosh, you put broccoli in this.
Yeah, what did you put in that? Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So it's not worth it. If you're concerned that your child is not eating enough vegetables, take a look at their fruit intake. If they're eating a good variety of fruits, they're probably getting a lot of the vitamins and the minerals that they would be getting from vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm a dietitian. Of course, I want everybody eating vegetables. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of health benefits. And I think sometimes the messaging can be confusing with, you know, don't pressure, don't push, let them eat what they're going to eat, make sure there's something they like. I think sometimes that can come off as, oh, so just don't make them eat veggies if they don't want to. No, that's not what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to be a little bit creative and strategize around how we have kids eat vegetables. So take a look at their fruit intake if you're really concerned, and stop sneaking mm-hmm. anything into foods.
Yeah. It's funny that this comes up. I've had this outline written for a little bit while, and I just saw a video like yesterday of an interview with a celebrity, Gigi Hadid, who was talking about, she was getting asked, like, oh, what's your best parenting advice? And she was like, sneak veggies into everything your child eats. And I was like, oh, we're about to talk about that. I know.
No.
So,
well,
we advise against it.
Isn't Gigi Hadid like a model
yes.
or something?
Yes, she is.
She's not a PD dietitian.
Exactly. So PD dietitian says do not sneak.
Yeah, so Gigi, stay in your lane, and I'll stay in mine. I'm not going to try to be a model. I am certainly not a model. Okay, what's next?
So another thing that we wanted to touch on when it comes to sneaking veggies, especially when it comes to picky kids, is because this is very common for picky kids to not want to eat veggies, so parents are say, well, I would like them to eat veggies, so they sneak them. But one of Jen's first tips for when a child is pickier is to get them in the kitchen and to have them help you cooking. So it can be a struggle and hard to sneak if your child is helping you cook, which
yeah,
you want them to do.
If you're saying, here, wash this broccoli. Now, yeah. Don't watch what I'm going to do with it.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Right.
So the same goes for lying to your child if they ask what they're eating.
Mm.
Right? Because that
right.
is different than sneaking. If they blatantly ask you, what is this?
Right.
Or what's in this?
Now, this might be something where different professionals have different opinions.
Mm-hmm.
If a child doesn't ask what's in it, I don't think you necessarily need to tell them.
Right.
Like, if it's a vegetable soup and they're just eating it, you don't have to say, like, oh my gosh, there's mushrooms in there. I'm so, I can't believe you're eating that. Oh my god, that's great. Like, right. You don't need to do that. And if they don't ask, don't tell. However, if your child asks, what's in this? Are there mushrooms in here? Don't lie.
Yeah.
Your child is smarter than you think, and they will find out, mm-hmm. and then they won't trust you. Right. So just don't lie, don't hide, don't sneak. End of story.
Yeah, it's all about maintaining that trust.
Right.
Absolutely. So we touch on this all the time, but you really don't want, never, ever want to force your child to finish their plate. That's mm-hmm. kind of just a blanket statement. It teaches them to ignore their hunger and fullness cues. It can yeah. just increase stress and pressure around mealtime and make it a really negative time. And it also goes against the division of responsibility.
We have a whole episode on the Clean Plate Club.
Yeah, we do.
And why we don't recommend that.
Absolutely. Yeah, go listen to that one.
Right. We'll link to that in the show notes.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, and if you are worried about food waste and that is why you might have your child or feel that they should finish their plate, you can start by just giving them smaller portions. And if they ask for more, let them have more. But starting off with smaller portions makes them more likely to finish their plate and result in less food waste.
Definitely. And touching on that, most kids find a small portion to be much less overwhelming.
Yeah.
They'll eat two bites instead of two cups
right.
of veggies. Or even yeah. something that they used to like and they've kind of dropped and they won't mm-hmm. really eat anymore, put it back on their plate in a really small portion. I recently did this with my daughter with eggs, mm-hmm. and now she'll eat them. So kids are really variable. Start with small portions. And the food waste is definitely a concern. I hate throwing away food myself. Mm-hmm. So just start small and let them ask for more.
Absolutely. This is another one that I see all the time on social media and just online in general, is the dinner winner plate.
Have you seen it recently?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, I have.
Go ahead. Why is this not great?
So if you don't know what it is, a dinner winner plate is basically like, it's kind of like different sections on a plate in a path form or a line almost or something. And then at the end of the line is a covered up portion of the plate. And usually the idea is that leading up to the covered up portion or the treasure, quote unquote, is your classic veggies, protein, grains, things like that. And then under, at the very end of this line, at the very end of your dinner, is the treat or the dessert, whatever it might be. So we don't recommend this at all. And it basically teaches the child and puts the treat on a pedestal at the end that they have to do this awful thing or this not negative thing to get to this positive thing at the end, which is they have to eat all their dinner, eat all these vegetables and things that maybe they wouldn't want to do normally to be able to get their treat at the end of the meal. Mm-hmm. So kind of goes against the division of responsibility and everything that we talk so much about. So it might look fun and look like that's a great way, make it a game, great way to get my child to eat their dinner. But if you really look at what it's teaching your child underneath, we really don't recommend it.
Definitely. To touch on, for anyone kind of struggling to conceptualize what this looks like, it looks like a game board.
Yeah, it does.
Right? So, and I'm sitting here thinking, like, have you ever played a board game? You're so young.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, Izzy probably only grew up with cell phone games. Like,
no, I'm not that young. No. I played, like, the game of life.
Okay.
Candyland, like, those kinds
okay.
of
Okay, yeah, so yeah. It reminds me of Candyland.
Yeah, exactly. Great. It reminds me of Candyland, too.
Okay. Yeah, the dinner winner plate, don't love it. And then that leads us into this next cringeworthy feeding practice, using dessert as a reward.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because I talk about this stuff day in and day out, and it's so second nature to me. But I still get people coming in my office who say to me, yeah, if my kid eats a good dinner, then they can get dessert. Mm-hmm. And what that's teaching the child is that they have to do the terrible thing to get the good thing. Mm-hmm. And you might ask, why is this problematic? If it gets my kids to eat their veggies, why is it a problem? The problem with this is it can lead down a road of feeling like every time something doesn't go as planned or go their way, or they weren't 100% successful at something, then they need to cope with those emotions by eating desserts, sweets, mm-hmm. sugar, or just even those, quote, like, forbidden foods, right? Yeah. Like fries and pizza and all those things that diet culture has permeated into our brains mm-hmm. as adults, it's going to do to the child.
Right. So these feeding practices, it might not seem clear necessarily right away why we suggest or don't suggest certain things, but we're really looking at the long term here. And we've talked about it before, the eating disorder prevention for the future. Mm-hmm. Because it all starts in childhood, and we know that our children are sponges and they soak up everything, and eating practices in childhood will reflect eating practices in adulthood.
100%. Definitely. That leads us into labeling foods as good and bad.
Yes.
There are no good foods. There are no bad foods.
Right.
There are certainly some foods that do perhaps more beneficial things for our body, mm-hmm. right? I'm not trying to argue that a pack of Skittles is going to give you perfect eyesight, right? You know what I mean? But all foods have a function, mm-hmm. truly.
Yeah.
And we can't, children can't differentiate between that vague concept of good food or bad food and separating it from themselves as like, I'm good or I'm bad. Mm-hmm. And it can just lead us down the road of them feeling guilt, shame, bad about themselves.
Right.
So all foods are neutral.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then our last little concept on here, or not so little, I guess, it's a pretty important one, is force feeding. Do you want to talk to us a little bit about why force feeding is something that we do not suggest?
Yeah. I think it goes without saying. It's so violating.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I've ever had something shoved in my mouth that I, like, was afraid to eat, but I have had clients who have reported that they've been force-fed or something has been shoved in their mouth, and it's traumatic.
Right.
For them.
Yeah.
And it really turns them off to wanting to eat. And it really negates that trust.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a parent who has force-fed your child before, and I don't want to shame anyone here because you were probably doing what you thought was best at the time.
Right.
Right? And perhaps that was coming from your own fear of, oh my gosh, my kid's not eating enough veggies, or oh my gosh, my kid needs to eat protein, so you stick it in their mouth.
Right.
You know, so you as the parent were doing the best thing that you knew how at the time. Mm-hmm. But that short-term bite, you know, the 2 grams of protein, or not even 2 grams, or like mm-hmm. the little dose of folate they're going to get from that veggie, it's not worth the long-term trauma or lack of trust.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. So we never force feed.
Yeah. Okay, I think that wraps it up. Do you have any other practices that you wanted to add or talk about?
I'm sure I could think of a bunch more if I thought long enough.
Right.
And again, we don't want anyone to feel like they're just doing everything wrong with feeding right. their children. But there are definitely, and every child responds differently. So some kids, you know, might not mind if you put a little bit of, say, new food on their lips and they lick it. I actually hear parents do that all the time mm-hmm. when they, like, really feel like their child is going to like it. So they put a little bit on their lips just to have the child lick it. Mm-hmm. For some parents and children, that works. I just advise you to use caution mm-hmm. because it could backfire.
Right.
And I would not recommend that for like a normal eater. yeah. someone like my daughter, who's just trying to push her limits and see what she can get away with. Mm-hmm. I would not recommend that for someone like that.
Right.
Children with some true feeding challenges, if your team, you know, whether you're working with OT, speech, a dietitian, if they feel like that might work, that's a different conversation. But yeah, I think there's so much nuance here, and right. there are some things that are definitely better practices than others.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So Izzy, tell us about our new segment that we're going to do.
Yes. So we're switching it up a little bit. We're starting a new segment. It's called Mom, Can I Have a Snack? Which we thought was very fitting. Mm-hmm. So this segment, we're basically going to be trying new and different snacks that we find in the grocery store about...
or products. It won't always be snacks. It might be different products.
Yeah.
But anyway, the segment is called Mom, Can I Have a Snack?
Yeah.
Just so that we can stay on top of, like, what's out there. What are kids eating? Yep. What are the hip, cool snacks? Because you and I are very much creatures of habit. Like, we buy the same things mm-hmm. over and over. It's like apple and cheese, apple and peanut butter, done.
Yeah, exactly.
So we gotta know what's out there.
Yeah, for sure. So this week we tried Chomps Sticks, which is, if you haven't seen it, is similar to a Slim Jim, I think, in some ways.
Yeah, it's like a meat stick.
Yeah.
So I've been hearing about these from my pediatric clients, and
I've seen them on social media, too.
Oh, have you?
Yes, I have.
I'm not, like, a meat stick person.
Yeah.
So I never eat, like, any sort of jerky. I've never had a Slim Jim. I remember mm-hmm. my brother growing up, he was, like, the king of Slim Jims.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But yeah, so we're going to do a little review. So we've already tasted it. And actually, if you're not following our Instagram, make sure you do that at Mom What's For Dinner Pod. Cause we're going to start posting reels of us trying the food.
Reaction. So if we don't like something, you might get some interesting facial expressions. Cause I myself am not so good at hiding my facial expressions when I don't like something. So
me either.
You'll know for sure. So go, give our Instagram a follow at Mom What's For Dinner Pod.
Definitely. Yeah, so we've already tasted it. We've already tried it. So Izzy, what did you think of Chomps? Let me back up. So we tried the original beef stick.
Yep.
I saw two other flavors at the store. I saw the jalapeno one, which mm-hmm. I was not brave enough to do.
Yeah.
And then there was a sea salt one. And I just want to say, these things are salty enough.
Yeah.
Why do we need to add a sea salt flavor to a salty meat stick? I don't know.
Right, but didn't you say the sodium level was the same?
Yes.
In the sea salt one compared to the original one that we bought
and
tried?
Yeah. So that's
so
just
interesting.
That just confuses me.
It's marketing for you.
Yeah, but like, can't we just do a different, like, can we do, like you said, like a turkey one?
Yeah.
Or a chicken one? Or like, I don't know, a cheddar one?
Oh, that would probably be good.
Why do we need sea salt? Anyway, I digress. What'd you think of Chomps, Izzy?
So, I didn't know what to expect because I'm also not a huge, like, meat stick person. But I didn't mind it completely. I'm a texture person, so I was a little apprehensive about what the texture was going to be like. I also, like, don't eat any kind of, like, sausage or anything like that. So, I was interested to see how that was going to go, but I actually didn't mind it. They are also certified gluten-free, so I have celiac disease, so that's obviously something that's important to me. And my review is I would eat it again if I was, say, in an airport and was kind of strapped for snacks that were gluten-free and safe to eat, and I was really hungry, I would eat it again, but not something that I'm definitely going to stock in my cupboard to have around at all times. But I didn't mind it as much as I thought I would. So,
yeah, I think I'm with you. So each stick is 100 calories, 10 grams of protein,
which was a plus.
So in a pinch, I mean, it's good for protein, 380 milligrams of sodium. So that's high. I mean, this is not a low sodium food at all. However, when I compared this to a Slim Jim, now, I did this standing in Target yesterday, It was a two-pack, and for both sticks, it had over 1,000 milligrams of sodium.
Wow.
Now, you might say, well, that's unfair because you're comparing one Chomp to two Slim Jims. But if Slim Jims are sold in a two-pack, most people are going to eat both, mm-hmm. right? It's like Pop-Tarts. They're sold right. in a two-pack thing,
yeah.
and you're going to eat both. So the sodium is much better in the Chomps. Still high. Taste-wise, they were much drier than I thought they would be.
Yeah.
I think Slim Jims are a little more like...
greasy?
Maybe, yeah. And this is much drier.
I don't mind that, though.
I didn't either.
I don't necessarily mind it. Sometimes when it's greasy, I feel like it would freak me out more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So taste-wise, it was fine. I would eat it in a pinch, and I'm often in a pinch with my schedule. But it's not something I'm going to, like, keep around and stock necessarily.
Yeah, but overall, I didn't mind it.
Yeah.
I liked it more than I thought I was going to, so...
there you go.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, so we were trying to find the nutrition facts for Slim Jim online, and all you can find are the snack size ones
mm-hmm.
online. It's impossible to find the nutrition information for a straight up regular Slim Jim online. Even on their website, when you click on ingredients and nutrition, the image won't load. So that's very telling. It's like almost like they don't want you to know what's really in there.
Yeah, sometimes when it's hard to find the nutrition information, it should be a little bit of a red flag, maybe.
Yeah, kind of weird. So maybe we're overthinking it, but...
probably.
Maybe not, though.
Who knows?
Maybe we're detectives. Okay, that wraps it up for this episode. We hope you loved it. And if you want to support the podcast, please go write us a review on the Apple Podcasts. And give us 5 stars. If you're listening on Spotify, give us a 5-star review and tell a friend. That's honestly one of the best ways you can support us is to share.
Absolutely.
And get our messaging out to those who need to hear it.
Yeah.
We will see you next time. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Mom, What's for Dinner? If you like what you hear, please be sure to rate and review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you need recipe inspiration or want to find out more about how to feed your kids, head on over to JenBelangerNutrition.com and check out the videos, blog, and shop tabs.
We'll see you soon for another episode.